Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The U.S. unemployment rate fell in April to its lowest level since 2008 as employers added 288,000 jobs. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate fell to 6.3% from 6.7% in March, but the drop occurred because the number of people working or seeking work fell sharply. Private exporters reported to USDA export sales today of 101,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2013-14 marketing year. The Kansas Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour produced an estimated average yield of 33.2 bushels per acre. That's the lowest level since 2001. The tour's Kansas production estimate came in at 260.7 million bushels, and that's the lowest amount of production since 1996. This year's wheat crop is suffering through the combined effects of a four-year drought and a brutally cold winter that dipped into sub-zero temperatures several times. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,578. It's up almost 20 points. The NASDAQ 4130 is up just over 3, and the S&P 500 is 1887, and it is up 3.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Leonard.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will begin their improving trend today. We'll likely see the temperatures starting to rebound this morning. The temperatures at the top of this hour running mostly in the 40s already and some 30s out into some of the westernmost parts of the region. But this is a good place to start. Our temperatures this afternoon will likely heat up into a little bit more favorable range for the region after we've been so cool this week. The afternoon highs today will be mostly 50s and 60s. That may still sound a little cool, and it is. But at least it's better than 40s and 50s, which were common earlier this week across the western and northern parts of the Midwest. And we'll look for the temperatures tomorrow afternoon, even warmer, and we'll continue the warming trend. And by the time we get to Sunday afternoon, we should be seeing highs still in the 50s in the northernmost parts of the region from the Dakotas to Michigan. But everybody else would be 60s and 70s with some 80-degree readings likely from Kansas into parts of Kentucky and southern Illinois. The warmth will stay with us through a big part of next week. Cooling is expected in the latter part of the week towards the weekend of next week, and we'll likely see the number of days with temperatures in the 80s possible in the southern portions of the region. So as long as we can keep precipitation to a minimum, the lower parts of the Midwest will see aggressive field work and will likely get much more progress completed across the region relative to that seen at any other point in the growing season so far. Now, some of the northern portions of the Midwest are going to be dealing with still some showers periodically. But I think that the trend here is enough warming that there will be some improvement in soil conditions. Aggressive planting is probably unlikely, but we'll probably see at least a little bit of field work. The showers that are going to occur are mostly insignificant, but they will be still occurring periodically, just enough to keep the ground from drying out as much as they desire there, and also to limit the amount of potential for field work. The temperatures are going to be staying somewhat mild to coolish in the northernmost parts of the region. That is the other limiting factor. If soil temperatures don't rise significantly, germination can't occur, and farmers aren't likely to put their seeds into the ground until there's a significant warm-up. The largest storm system on the forecast charts right now is one that occurs during mid to late week next week. It will have its roots in the plains, mostly the northern half of the plains, as we get to Tuesday night into Wednesday, and it will spread its rain eastward as we go through the second half of next week. The storm system may not produce much precipitation in the lower eastern eastern Midwest until the very end of the week next week, and the same will be true for the southeastern states and portions of the Tennessee River Basin. All of those areas will see little to no precipitation over this period, and will likely see a lot of field work accomplished during that time. The southwestern U.S. plains will also stay dry through a big part of the coming week to 10 days. No meaningful precipitation is possible until a little trough of low pressure begins to cut through the region Tuesday into Thursday of next week. The trough line will likely not produce much precipitation in the droughty areas, but there will be at least a risk of a shower or two at that point in time. We'll expect to see the best chance for rain in the southern plains, possibly developing in the second weekend of the two-week outlook, and that, of course, is too far out in time right now to have much confidence. In the meantime, some damage has occurred again in hard red winter wheat country overnight, with temperatures slipping down into the range of 24 to 30 degrees in western Kansas and 25 to 30 across eastern Colorado. Frost and freezes were reported in many areas from the Texas Panhandle into Nebraska, but it's only the western counties in Kansas and easternmost Colorado that we believe that there is going to be some new damage reported. It may not be widespread, but it's more injury to the crop that's already had a tough season. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 819, up 12 and 3 quarters. July, 810 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. Soft May wheat, $7 and 3 quarters, up 2. July, 711 and a quarter, up 4. May corn, 496 and a half, down 6 and 3 quarters. July, $5 and 3 quarters, down 6 and a quarter. December, 494 and a half, down 5. May soybeans, 1477, up 3.5. July, 1463 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. November, 1224 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter. May soybean meal, 486.40, down 30 cents. May soybean oil, 41.21, up 29. June live cattle, 138.87 and a half, down 37 and a half. May feeders, 183.65, down 30. May lean hogs, 116.35, down 102 and one half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I'm sure for the producer, the last 2 days of trading with a little bit of follow-through now that we're seeing in the corn market to the downside has been something of a shock to the system. What are you telling people?
Well, I think that we definitely, yesterday was a correction day. First of the month, you never know how much of it was spurred on by some people taking profits after a pretty profitable month if they're in the fund management business and took some profits out of their longs. But basically what I'm looking at is, we went up, beans were the leader yesterday. We went up, we tested the mid-April highs. We couldn't get through those. There was some talk on Wednesday about some of the feeders out on the East Coast having enough beans and meal bought from Brazil to get them through the summer. And we took and we corrected yesterday and went down to the mid-April lows. And now we're going to see whether we can hold those or not. So I think the keys are on July beans, 1450, if that area can hold. And on the corn, I think that 490 area on the December corn, or basically $5 on the July corn, if those areas can hold, I think we probably can kind of keep this thing in a sideways pattern, but it's going to be awful hard to get back up and get through those mid-April highs at this point.
Certainly it's done damage to the weekly charts.
Yes, definitely to the weekly charts. And actually, on beans, the weekly chart looks a little bit better than the straight July because we did hold above the 20-day moving average, 30-day moving average on the May beans.
We ought to talk about wheat and what its role in all this could be.
And I think it kind of gives an example of maybe what's going on here is the funds have bought these markets. They've kind of driven us up sometimes to where we're not competitive. Egypt is in for a tender on wheat, and just to look at the numbers, the Ukraine is about 285 per ton, and the U.S. is about 302 per ton. So we're the highest number out there on the tender. And that's kind of what happens is the funds drive this thing up. We get to where we're not competitive and see some slowing exports. But wheat really has some good news with the Kansas wheat tariff being the lowest since 1996, I think it was.
Right.
And more damage to come, the way it sounds. So I think, you know, from a price standpoint, that's good news. That's going to be a key to watch, too, if we can keep the wheat over the $7 level on the July.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Let's go ahead and look at the current tick. Hard red winter May wheat is 8.19 up 12 3/4. July 8.11 up 7. Soft May $7 3/4 up 2. July 7.11 3/4 up 4.5. May corn 4.97 1/4 down 6. July 5.02 down 5. December 4.95 3/4 down 3 3/4. May beans 14.76 1/4 up 2 3/4. July 14.64 1/4 now a half up 3.5. November at 12.24 1/2, they are down 1. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.